Shy of 8:06 here at 55 KRC, the talk station. A very happy Tuesday to you. My name is Brian Thomas, and I am always pleased to see on the 55 KRC Morning Show Rundown. We talk with Breitbart News and get the inside scoop every Tuesday at this time, but it's always better, or not better, but it's always great to see AWR Hawkins on the rundown list because we're going to talk guns. Welcome back, AWR Hawkins. It's always a pleasure having you on the program.
Oh, great to be with you. Thank you.
My distinct appreciation. I just happen to interject real quick here before we get to the attack at the Tops store in Buffalo, New York, and the cries for more gun control. I had lunch with a couple of buddies of mine the other day, and my one friend was out shooting handguns the other day, and he rarely shoots them. He said, I had a box of 45 ammo, and after I got done going through the 100 rounds and put everything away, I asked somebody, how much are these rounds, and how much does this box of ammo cost? And when he was made aware, he goes, wow, that was one really expensive day for me. Is the price of ammo ever going to come down?
Well, you know, some of it has come down, but I don't know. I mean, the demand is so high. I believe demand is what has us pinched right now. I mean, you got to think, have more gun owners than ever.
Yeah.
And, shooting's more popular than ever. And once they got behind in 2020, I believe demand has outpaced what's available for a couple of years now. So I think, you know, I think it's almost as simple as that, but... So, but you and I both know someone will come along, a couple of new ammo companies will come along, and they'll fill that gap. And once that happens, we might see prices drop.
I sure hope so. But I've just written off the days of boxes of 9mm ammo for $10 are long gone, and I don't think they're ever going to come back. Anyway, moving on to gun control. We look at the Buffalo mayor pushing for sensible gun control after grocery attack. And I remind my listeners, you can find AWR Hawkins on Breitbart, BRITBART.com. Bookmark it. It's awesome. And he also has a site. It's called Downrange with AWR Hawkins. And you can find that on, I believe it's YouTube. So search for that as well and sign up for it and follow what he has to say. But now let me get this straight, AWR Hawkins. New York, as you pointed out in your writings on Breitbart, has probably some of the most, if not the most stringent gun controls in the United States, universal background checks, high-capacity magazine ban, a so-called assault weapons ban, or what you and I would call modern sporting rifle ban, red flag law, permit requirement to buy a handgun, gun storage requirements, ghost gun regulations, and a prohibition against gun possession by felons. And then there are others beyond that, but that pretty much is the whole litany there. This kid had been checked into a hospital because he was, I think, threatening to shoot up his high school or wanted to kill people when he was 17. He was being analyzed for a day and a half. Isn't that something that would pop up on a red flag law if you got one in your state?
Well, it should, but the information has to be entered. I mean, I don't know if it was where it was placed. That's always been a problem for the left. The left has all these big plans for stopping gun purchases, but you know, then they're not inputting information. You know, they always want to expand background checks, but they haven't put in all the information for background checks that we have now in many ways. And you know, you saw the same thing with the gunman down in Parkland. I mean, that guy was all over the radar, and but he was able to legally purchase his gun. And you know, the bottom line is people have to understand background checks look backward. They don't predict behavior. They look at history. And if there's not a record, if nothing is found, there's no reason that someone can't pass a background check. And so these people that put all their hope in these background checks, it's false hope. It's not going to work. And people have to understand that. The background check is only as reliable as the people who are entering criminal and mental information in someone's record. And we just see that with this kid. We saw it with Parkland. I could name a gazillion examples where we've seen it. And so you just can't trust the checks. You can't. And I don't mean, I just mean there are a lot of people that you watch, especially these liberals, that's always their response. Well, you need universal background checks. Well, you know, New York has universal background checks. They didn't do anything to stop this. So quit putting your hope in that and understand the real solution is for good people to be armed. That's the real solution.
Oh, absolutely. You get no argument from me on that. That's why I carry concealed and always have one at the ready. In fact, I actually had to pull mine out one time in my entire life, unfortunately, and I pray to God every day that I didn't have to use it because the guy was walking away when I got, but a guy tried to kill me on the highway, rammed my car a whole bunch of times, knocked me off the road, and I really thought he was going to come after me when our cars came to a halt, but fortunately, I didn't panic. I had my concealed carry weapon right there at the ready, and I was prepared to defend myself as well I should. But in terms of the high-capacity magazine ban, they had one of those in place, and yet, I read, he modified his 10-round magazines to hold 30 rounds. That's not exactly a challenge, is it?
No. No, I believe I read that he used his dad's drill to make a change in the gun so that it would accept other magazines, and that's how he was able to do that. But that's what, again, I know it sounds like I'm saying the same thing over and over, but this is what people don't understand. These liberals pass these laws, and they go, there, now we're safe. No, no. With or without your laws, a determined attacker will attack, and people have to understand that. And that's why you look at, you remember the, what was it, 5-6 years ago, the terrorists who mowed down 84 people with a truck
yeah.
in France? I mean, they don't need guns. All an attacker needs is, if he or she is determined to attack, they're going to attack, and people are going to die. And all you can do is be prepared and try to stop that attack.
Well, you make a good point. The Waukesha guy who killed a bunch of people running through that Christmas parade, that didn't net a visit by Joe Biden, but nonetheless, proved that. You know, there's a prime example right there, and there's been a lot of suggestions and a lot of reports that he did not really take kindly to white people. I mean, there could have been a racial motivation for his attack up in Waukesha.
Right. Right. And it just shows, I hate to say it, but it's really scary if you think about it, because an attacker will weaponize anything. And once he or she does that, it's on. And you just have to be alert. And if you really think about it, it's a scary world if you think about it in that way, because as the resident said in Buffalo that I wrote on following the Buffalo attack, this isn't about the guns. The guns don't do this. People who don't know how to use guns or who have bad intentions do this. And same thing with people that run people over and do that. And we have to always remember there's evil in the world, and evil strikes, and that's a sad thing, but it's true.
Okay, and we're bearing all that in mind, and a real quick point on the background check component, I just happen to be reading an advanced copy of Bill O'Reilly's new book called Killing the Killers, and it's an account from the assassin or the killing of Osama bin Laden all the way through all these different terrorists, you know, and that many of them were on a watch list. They were known to authorities before they committed their terrorist acts. They were known to be involved in radical Islam before the terrorist attacks, and didn't do a whole lot of good because they were able to ultimately carry them out many times, and as you point out, with things other than firearms. You have bombs, you have trucks, and a whole and knives out in the world. So that I think that point needs to be driven home. But this is all about incrementalism, because if the left were to hear your words, well, yeah, you know, he's right. The background checks didn't do anything. They're not very good at predicting behavior in the future. The you know high capacity magazines or 10-round magazines can be modified, or the firearm can be modified to accept a larger magazine, et cetera, et cetera. Therefore, and you know what's coming, we need to get rid of all guns. Obviously a problem with the Second Amendment, but it's not exactly a practical solution considering the literally millions and millions of firearms that are already out there in the world, right?
Right. Or just in the U.S., you know, 430 million plus. So far more guns than people. And we're far past the let's just get rid of them talk, because the criminals will always have guns. And I think we're learning that lesson. I think if you back up 20 years, I'm not sure the population as a whole understood it, but I think through articles and radio shows and different things, they've come to be educated enough to understand, look, these guns are everywhere. And you look at somewhere like Chicago. Chicago used to have a complete handgun ban.
Oh, I lived there at the time.
During the handgun ban, their homicide numbers were even higher than they are now.
I made that point this morning because I lived there between 90 and 98. and the numbers were worse then than they are now, as horrific as they are. I said, yeah, well, I lived through the glory years. I said, they haven't quite gotten back to where they used to be, but it was a dangerous place. And, you know, I admit it out loud. I had a handgun back then. I brought it with me when I moved from Cincinnati, and I said, I'll be damned if I give this thing up. If someone breaks into my home, I will take matters into my own hands and face the consequences afterward. Go ahead, fine me for owning a firearm where I'm not allowed to have one. I know about my Second Amendment rights, and I know the great equalizer is a firearm. So if a very large person comes at me, and I'm only 5'10", and I now weigh 185, at the time I think I weighed 165, slight of build, I will admit, I'm going to lose a fight to a much larger person unless, of course, I'm armed.
Right. No, I would have been, I didn't live there at that time, but I would have been just like you, because there's no way I'm going to live in a house and not have a means to defend myself if someone comes in there. But you know, what you saw, thinking about those numbers, Brian, you saw what that handgun ban did, is guaranteed that the criminals had handguns. That's basically what it did. It empowered the criminal and gave him or her the advantage over the law-abiding citizen for the whole time that ban was in place.
Well, and you know, the left also, I think, is doing a tremendous disservice to people who live on life's margins in terms of their finances, because one of the solutions the left has is to tax them and make almost unaffordable to the portion of the population that isn't, you know, of means. That quite often includes minority communities, but also includes poor white people and anybody else for that matter. But the folks who are in most need of an ability to protect themselves, those who live in the worst neighborhoods with the worst violence, gang or otherwise, are in most need to be able to defend themselves, and they may be least likely to afford one based on these taxes that the left puts on them.
Right. That's it. You know, again, we go to the left's gun control, as you say, cost prohibitive. It's funny, everything the left does, they always tell us they're doing it to help people, to raise people up. And really what they do is they put people down, they trap them. And they price, with their taxes on firearms and ammunition, they price firearms and ammunition out of the reach of the very people they say that they represent, the single moms, the minorities, this and that. That's who they make the Second Amendment cost prohibitive. You know, I've said forever, when police departments have guns that they have confiscated and the criminal is found guilty, that means he or she does not get that gun back. That gun ought to be sold, I mean, dirt cheap, to single moms, to low-income families, so that they have a means to defend themselves, to keep those kids safe at night when they go to sleep, and so on and so forth. And that ought to be a policy in every city in America. Of course, it'll never see the light of day, especially not in Democrat-run cities. But if they were true to their rhetoric, they'd be the first ones to adopt something like that.
Yeah, and the screams from the left anytime a firearm is used in a commission of a crime in a city like Chicago or New York, where there is an outright ban, we can call it, they always scream about guns flowing in from out of state. So therefore, all the other states need to fall in line with the gun bans in those cities in order to protect those cities from the violence that perhaps their own policies perpetuate.
Yeah, well, you know, it's funny, isn't it? It's funny that they pass all these gun controls, and then when their gun controls fail, it's the other state's fault. I mean, what they don't do is back up and just go, you know what? What this proves is our gun controls don't work. See, that's what the rest of us see. Whether it's Gabby Giffords or Every Town for Gun Safety or the Brady campaign or whatever gun-grabbing group it is, when they tell us how gun control makes us safer and how gun control reduces this and that, we all know it's a lie. Because the Democrats in New York are saying out loud, look, our gun control doesn't work because the state next door has different gun laws.
Yeah.
And it just shows, you know, well, you just saw in California, the gunman in California, he acquired his guns legally. He complied with all gun control, just as the Buffalo shooter complied with all gun control up to a point. But, you know, their gun control just simply doesn't work.
It does not. And then again, there's that pesky Second Amendment. A.W.R. Hawkins, award-winning Second Amendment columnist for Breitbart News. And again, Downrange with A.W.R. Hawkins. You can sign up to get that at Breitbart.com/downrange. A.W.R., it's always a pleasure having you on my program. Remember, sometime when you're in town, we're going to go to the range together.
Oh, we're going to do it. It's on my list. Don't you worry.
Fantastic. I look forward to that day. In between now and the next time we get to talk, whether it's on the range or here on the program, best of health to you and your loved ones, and keep fighting the good fight, my friend.
Thank you, and you too. I hope you have a great day.
You too. 820 right now, 55 KRC, the talk station. Coming up at 830, Kim Daly with the book.